Golf Talk America is brought to you by Club Corps, the leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorps.com for more information.
Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today as we're getting ready for the playoffs. They're here as the season continues to roll along, even though we are almost kind of back to where we started, it seems like, a year ago with the resurgence of COVID and the Delta variants. And what's that going to mean for the tour? We'll talk a little bit about that. We still have a lot of questions about that as well. But here we are getting ready for the playoffs. And, of course, the first stop would be at Liberty National, the Northern Trust. And so on we go into the playoffs. Ryder Cup's right around the corner as well. So we'll get into a little bit about who we like, who we think might have a good chance here in the playoffs as a great finish, too, by the way, of last week, the Wyndham Championship, to see who could make it in the top 125. That was a big part of that for a lot of the guys that were playing, trying to earn their spot. And a lot of guys were right there on the 128, 126, 123 bubble and trying to figure out Ricky Fowler, one of the guys that didn't make the cut. And therefore, Ricky, I believe an 11-year run that he had in the FedEx Cup playoffs is done. We won't see Ricky again for the foreseeable future. So a lot of drama this past week. Speaking of drama, let's bring in our drama critic, Frank Bassett, in our Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank?
I'll give it 4 stars, and I love the popcorn.
It was a dramatic finish, though, wasn't it? And we had a bad weather situation. So a lot of people, we were just talking about that pre-show. Yeah. I was confused. I'm like, okay, what happened? Is it already over? Because the rain was coming in North Carolina, and they started the tournament hours early and finished hours early.
Tim, if you had read your PGA Tour communications, you would have known. No, they started it early. Because of the weather that was coming in. But what happened, and you said it in pre-show, I streamed it, so I watched it. But at 2 o'clock Central Time, CBS switched over to broadcast. And when they did that, they went straight into the playoff. So everybody's tuning in and like, wait a minute, it's over. What did I miss? You know, did it start at noon or did it start at 10 or what? And so there you have the playoff and you've got – you know, how in the world do you run 6-7 guys up and down 18? You know,
all right.
That's like our weekend. Yeah. You know, we got to six them. They don't mind if we play that, do they? Well, it was 10 minutes before Adam Scott and the first playoff hole. He had it. He had it won. He had a 4-footer to win the thing. Or in the second one, whatever it was. I don't know now. But he had to wait 10 minutes before he could ever putt that 4-foot putt.
Yeah.
And then he pulls out his green book and starts looking at the errors. And now a 4-foot putt. You're going to play, you're going to look at your green book? Just line it up dead center and hit it. Of course, that's me saying
that.
It's that easy, right?
It's that easy.
Sure it is. But anyway, it was incredible. It was a mess. But then they flipped immediately, Tim, to, as you know, the replay of the tournament.
Yeah.
So the tape delay.
Because people tuned in to see
that.
You know, when they normally tune in, as you said, 2 o'clock Central, you tune in for the back nine for the most part, even, you know, 12 holes or something is what you're going to get.
Yeah.
To tune in and go, it's over, they had to go and say, okay, we got 2 hours to fill, or three, we got to show you something. So they went back and show you Kevin Kisner on the fourth hole and all that. It was confusing because they never really explained, and maybe confusing to a lot of people, they never really explained, meaning Nance and the other announcers, oh, by the way, the tournament is over. They started early because of rain. They never got into that. They just said, oh, here's Kevin Kisner. Congratulations. Now let's show you how he won. And you're like, wait a minute, why did they start early? I didn't understand.
I mean, we don't all follow the weather channel, you know, to know, there's a weather system coming.
I do.
So, you know. Anyway,
congratulations to Kisner. That's a long way of saying that. Congratulations for winning. And propels him way up the FedEx Cup points. So, it was. But there was a lot of drama there, was there not? For the guys that were trying to, you know, Scott Piercy and other guys that were right there in that 125 range, and I'm saying within 4 or 5 of that, a putt here or there. How about Justin Rose? Didn't Justin need to make a 4-foot par putt?
Oh,
like at the end?
Yes.
And couldn't do it.
126.
Get in.
One point out.
It normally isn't somebody that well-known either, right? It's a guy that, okay, you don't really This was Justin Rose. And here he was needing that putt. Oh, I'm telling you.
It was painful to watch.
We talk about it, and people don't appreciate, I don't think, in the world of NFL, NBA, where guaranteed money and make or miss a free throw, everything's – this is the greatness about golf, is that if you don't perform, you don't get paid, or you don't move on, or there's really effects to it, as opposed to dropping a pass, guess what? You still get paid. The same amount as if you would have caught the pass. And, yes, everybody wants to win and catch and do all – but in golf, it really does make a difference. I mean, those are putts that you're sitting there going, that's a difference of not only money in that tournament, but moving on. How much money would he have made had he qualified and done well? It could be millions of dollars
in that one putt. Yeah. Matthew, speaking of millions, right? Matthew Wolf won $1 million so, and didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is no God. There is no God. Oh, yeah. It was brutal. But the Justin Rose thing really hurt. I mean, it was painful to watch. You saw him, and he's such a gentleman. But, oh, my God, you saw it in his eyes. He was like, what have I done? Oh, Lord.
Well, it's almost too you don't want to know what you don't want to know sometimes, right? You kind of – I think you're better off oftentimes just putting and not thinking about. But when that's – how do you not know, right, what's on the line here where you are literally on that 125 line?
Yep.
And you're thinking of that. I just can't even imagine the – because we all know golf is about eliminating negative thoughts, right? We can all hit the shot, do it. It's just, look at that out of bounds right there. Oh, wait a minute. There's a branch hanging down. You know, and you somehow hit that one-inch branch from 140 yards out, right? It's like you can't not think of the bad things. You got all that on you, and you're lining up this putt and standing over it. How do you not think, oh, it's all right here. It's all on the line. I'm almost dead going before the firing squad if I miss this putt. That's hard as hell to try to stand there think good thoughts on that. So, yeah, I don't know. Tough.
It was tough. It was fun to watch. It was fun to stream it and see it a little early. But, by the way, congratulations to Kevin Kisner, because that is the first playoff he's won out of how many tries? He was 0 for 5.
5, I think.
Yeah, 0 for 5. Yeah. And he finally won one. He was really funny with Amanda, too. So, Amanda Baliones, I should say, the young woman who does the interviews.
On course used to work, interviewer.
Yeah, used to work with us at PGA Tour Radio. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. Hey,
and
by Kistner's the way,
Kistner's not normally a funny guy. Kisner, is why it's unusual, because he's got such a dry sense of humor. He's very serious most of the time, and in my opinion, a little bit too serious. It's like, lighten up a bit.
Well, it's hard to smile when you got something under your lower lip like this.
What?
Kevin dips. So,
I know.
So, it's hard to smile when you got something under your lip.
When you get your finger stuck in there.
Anyway, so by the way, just as a sidebar here real quickly, next week is the Senior LPGA Championship at French Lick, Indiana. And Brian Hammonds and Jane Crafter will be in the booth. And yours truly will be on the golf course doing some of the play-by-play stuff, holding, doing the old Tim Matthews, Doug Bell, Fred Albers job. So pray for me. It's going to be hot.
It'll be fun.
It'll be fun. It's going to be a blast. Yeah. I'll add a little color to it, and hopefully I don't say something I shouldn't. It's going to be streamed live on the Golf Channel on Sunday from 2 to 5, I think. 2 to 5
2 to
Eastern.
5 on Sunday.
On Sunday, yeah.
And people can find it pjtour.com?
No, it's on Golf Channel. It'll be
on
the Golf Channel. Be golfchannel.com. Also, you'll also be able to find it, and we'll give you, on the Monday show, we'll give you more information about it. But I just wanted to get it out there real quick that we are going to be there doing live shows at French Lick that week. We'll do a show Monday and Wednesday, and playing in the Pro-Am Thursday. Don't know who I'll get to play with. I'll know that Wednesday night. And then play in the Pro-Am Thursday.
Which course is this going to be at?
Pete Dye course.
Very scenic. So, very scenic.
Very scenic.
Haven't been there.
I like the vistas because when you throw your club, you can see it fly through the air longer.
It goes for counties away, miles and miles and miles. I'll give you this little bit of advice while you're doing it. Brevity. Just remember that
brevity.
Word. Shorter is better when you're doing it. Hey, let's go to Frank.
Let's go to Frank on 18.
Sometimes you get
great effing putt.
You get caught up. caught up over-explaining, trying to over. Just keep it short, sweet. Better, shorter. This is a lot better than scrambling and getting caught up, and then you're like, oh God, now what am I into? How do I get out of this? Yeah.
Well, Hammonds will be, you know, be the anchor. So you know Hammonds, he's not shy about telling you to shut up. So he worked at the Golf Channel a long time. Yeah. So Hammonds will be throwing to me, I guess. So he'll be talking in my ear, or the producer will, whatever. Yeah, it's fun to do. I did it with Doug Bell some. You've done it a lot out there. Yeah, you ought to be
Speaking
back
of
out
which,
there.
We
by the way, to... by the way, you should be back on PGA Tour Radio play-by-play.
Yeah,
okay?
Whatever. Maybe.
You should.
Well, so who knows? Who knows? Yeah.
You should.
I like what I'm doing. Who cares? Whatever. Yeah. Someday.
Well, you don't do anything. you go hang out with the Spieth family at Starbucks in the mornings. Whatever.
Speaking of PGA Tour Radio, we have, when we take our break here coming up in a minute, we have the man himself, the anchor, Earl Forsey, will be joining us to talk a little bit about the Northern Trust and the playoffs coming up, maybe a little bit about what happened at Wyndham as well. But we'll be talking to Earl about him and all the boys covering the playoffs, which will lead to a big pot of gold. Is it $15 million now again?
Yes.
They upped that a
couple
years ago, did they not? For the first place, if you're done in Atlanta, you win the whole ball of wax, it's $15
million.
On top of what you can win in every tournament going along. So these tournaments, just so people are clear, are all big-paying tournaments. So you win the Northern Trust, you win $1.7 million, $1.8 million.
Yep.
And you also move up and you get your points, and then you get to Atlanta, so you could accumulate $20 million or $18 million. I think Spieth kind of did that, even though the pot of gold was a little bit lower, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he did
back then when he won the FedEx Cup playoff. But I think when it accumulated for the whole playoff and everything else, and if I'm not mistaken, there was four, right? We've eliminated one playoff.
Yeah, eliminated one. Now there's just three. The two playoff and then the championship.
There used to be the Deutsche Bank and the BMW and all. Yeah. Right. And so Spieth, I think, won like 17, 18 million in about a month.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what could happen. That's the kind of, pressure and money that's on the line here. So
works
we'll talk
works
to
for me.
About that. Yeah, I was going to say, it's not a bad way to get it going. And we'll also talk that there's, you know, a number of guys, as we said, Ricky Fowler, Justin, that are not going to be seen in this. And it is the evolution. You know, a couple years ago, we mentioned that for the first time ever, Hunter Mahan was, I think, the last guy to play in every one of the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Yep.
Right? It went back from 2006 or 2007. And he was the only one until he missed a few years ago.
Yep.
He hasn't been back since. But that's what happens. I mean, you know, it evolves. It's the world that we're in golf. And there's always a young, new guy, Victor Hovland, somebody coming up the ranks. And there's another one that's right behind these guys. And other people get moved out the other side. And it's harsh reality sometimes. But that's where we are.
So yes, it is.
We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. All right, we're going to take a break. But before we do, I want to mention that while you're watching some golf or doing anything else in your active life, you want to make sure that you stay fully hydrated. And what's better than Arnold Palmer? Well, the only thing that's better is Arnold Palmer Spiked. That's right, because it's got 5% alcohol by volume. So it's the delicious blend of iced tea and lemonade that we've all known for years and years and that Arnie made famous with that smooth alcohol blended right into it to give you that perfect afternoon, late evening, whenever comfort that you want when you're playing on a golf course or, as I said, working in the yard or anything else you want to do. There's an easy way to find out where you can find Arnold Palmer Spiked Tea, and that is either in the multi-packs or the tall 24-ounce cans. And that's simply by going to arnoldpalmerspiked.com/GTA. arnoldpalmerspiked.com/GTA, Golf Talk America, and you can find out right there. Anywhere in your area that you can find Arnold Palmer Spiked. And you can also go to Drizzly or Instacart. Those are those apps that you can get on your phone, and they will deliver this beautiful beverage right to your front door. It doesn't get any better than that. Again, perfect balance of brewed iced teas, real fruit juice, and 5% alcohol by volume. ArnoldPalmerSpiked.com/GTA, the way to go.
2021 Hornell Brewing Company, Memphis, Tennessee. Malt beverage with natural flavor. Celebrate responsibly.
We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, Earl Forsey, the voice of PGA Tour Radio, will join us. We know we're going to get into some Redskins, too, but we'll try to get a little golf in while we can, talking with Earl. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I will return right after this.
Hey, guys, it's Neil Michaels, sales director of Golf Talk America. Did you know that 2/3 of all men will start to lose their hair by age 35? But I learned the best way to prevent more hair loss is to do something about it while you still have some. And that solution is HIMSS. HIMSS is helping guys like you and me be the best version of ourselves with licensed medical providers and FDA-approved products designed to help treat hair loss. And today, HIMSS is giving you their best offer yet. Go to 4hims.com/golftalk and receive your first visit absolutely free. That's right, it's free. And if you're not happy with your results after 90 days, HIMSS will give you a full refund. That's forhims.com/golftalk. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Guys, baldness can be optional. 4hims.com/golftalk.
And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett with you, and we'll be joined here shortly by Earl Forsey, the voice of PGA Tour Radio. But first, we want to remind everybody that we all know we should be eating more fish and help to get our omega-3s and our proteins in our diets. We don't always do it the way we're supposed to, but Wild Alaskan makes it very, very easy for you to do it. It takes out all the guesswork of buying that wild-caught seafood. You make sure that Wild Alaskan delivers high-quality, sustainable food, wild-caught seafood right to your door. Choose from salmon, whitefish, or a combination. And every month, there's a different special on the list that you can explore. So you get to test different things out, see what you like and you don't like. Each shipment contains premium wild-caught, individually wrapped portions of delicious seafood that's ready to prepare and easy to cook. That's the key. Easy to cook. It doesn't take a genius. Whether you're a single person, a big family, whatever, you'll get all the delicious seafood and that very important omega-3 proteins. Easy enough to do, too. You get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/GTA for Golf Talk America. That's wildalaskancompany.com/GTA. $15 off your first box of premium seafood. You can't beat the flavor. You can't beat the intense omega-3 vitamins and proteins that you get, and you also save $15. So it's a great deal. Make sure you check them out, wildalaskancompany.com/GTA for Wild Alaskan Seafood. I'm hungry just thinking about it.
Me too.
All right, Frank, we're back. We've been talking about what's going on in the PGA Tour and the Northern Trust, the start of the playoffs, and here's the man himself to bring us a little bit of knowledge about what's going to happen in the playoffs or what we at least think might happen in the playoffs and who's in, who's out, whatnot. And that's our good friend Earl Forsey, voice of PGA Tour Radio, joining us now. Earl, thanks for being with us. How are you doing today?
Hey, good talking to you. I would say, yeah, a very little bit of knowledge to head into the playoffs. So, but yeah, thanks okay. for having me, guys. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. It's been too long, buddy. Hey, real quick, we talked in the first segment about Kevin Kisner's first playoff victory. Wow, what a... Adam Scott had to wait 10 minutes before missing that four-footer. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that. It was, you know, with the craziness of the entire season and this marathon and you know, and by the end of the next few weeks, 50 total events, I was saying Sunday, it's kind of appropriate that we would get that record-tying six-way playoff at the end. It was kind of cool. I mean, watching the stuff, you know, unfold and seeing, you know, when we get the stuff, the shot tracers and stuff for coverage and watching all this stuff online, you know, it was like a rainbow of colors on each hole, all these shot traces and stuff, you know, cause you got six guys playing at once. And, it was interesting. It was, that was tough for Adam Scott. You know, I mean, that was as close to a done deal as you can get for him. It was a pretty straightforward four footer, you know, to win. And it's been a year and a half where it's not been good for him. I mean, he's been one of the guys that has kind of struggled since the restart from the pandemic and a lot of issues, obviously, with that, his overseas travel. And he didn't play for a while after play resumed a year ago. And it looked like he was going to get back in the win column. And when he missed that putt and you send six guys again back to the tee, you just know someone's going to take advantage of it, right? You know, six guys playing in, someone's going to hit a good shot. Someone's going to make something happen. And it was Kisner. And, you know, when he hit his basically to, you know, kick in distance too, my first thought was he's not going to miss this putt. And he did. A good win for him.
Yeah, it was. It was a fun, it was kind of like playing at your local club late in the day on a Sunday afternoon when you just kind of join up two threesomes and just finish up, right. You know. It was fun to watch.
And now the only six-way playoff that in PGA Tour history that doesn't involve a member of our PGA Tour radio team. So, because, you know, Paulson was involved in one of
Paulson,
them.
Paulson,
Carney was in the half, that's Nelson. Right. And now, well, I guess one of those six is going to be working with us very soon, or at some point, is my guess.
Yeah, it's your guess. It's got to. And by the way, they had to go early because of impending weather, right? Yeah. So that got a little bit confusing as well, that it was kind of over while most people around the country were tuning in to start at least maybe the back nine. And by that time, it was already over. So the schedule for all the announcers.
Not if you were listening to the radio coverage.
That's right.
You know, so.
Not if they're in. That's right.
They had to dodge weather and all that. And that's the other thing, you know, when they send six guys back to the tee after regulation, again, the way your mind works in these things, in my mind, I'm thinking, boy, I hope the weather holds up, because you knew it was going to take a while to get it done. And, you know, everything worked out fine. And, you know, we're down to 125 now. And this thing, you know, as Ron Burgundy said, it escalates quickly. You know, you get down to 70 and then you're down to 30. And then, you know, 3 weeks from now, somebody's hoisting the trophy.
What about Justin Rose? Oh, my God. What a gut-wrenching missed putt on 18.
Yeah. And that's another thing. We get all these projections, okay, for, you know, and it's updated live. And these things, you know, over the course of these kind of events toward the end of the year, they really do. And we stress that in our coverage, that when we say someone is projected to this, or someone's going to move to number one, or someone's inside the top 125. I mean, that's minute by minute, because, and especially last week, everything was so bunched up. There were so many, like, you know, 12 way ties for whatever, you know, it's that has such an impact when things are separated by so few points. And that was one of the things we stressed last week and watching that, you know, the tournament within the tournament, is that even 47 events into a year, this super season, they've never played more. And
right,
it was unprecedented for many reasons, but certainly in the FedEx Cup era, obviously it's unprecedented. And it still comes down to, you know, fractions of a point, you know, just a couple of points here, one way or the other, to determine who's in and who's out. And, you know, Hadley got on the course and he had that hole in one, and, you know, we saw the celebration on social media and all that stuff. And it was, and you saw his number start creeping up. I mean, he just all of a sudden early on Sunday kind of got to be one of those guys we started tracking because he had a chance to make it. And, you know, he finished on the front nine and made his birdie and then had to wait. And there was a point, and I'm watching these things like as they change. It's like watching a tote board, numbers changing. You know, I mean, I can see these things, like the name shuffle in and out live. And there was a point, actually, when he finished, he was just on the outside. I think he was at that point 126 when he made his birdie, Hadley. So he had not quite done enough. And coming in on the front, it looked like he was going to need to pick up two shots, you know, from where he was. That's how they do the projections. You get to see, well, if he makes a birdie, he goes here. If he makes an eagle, he goes here. So you can kind of have a read on it. And coming in like three or four holes to play, he needed to pick up a couple of shots. He gets that birdie, and it just didn't look like it was going to be enough. And then, you know, something happens with someone else late in the day, and it was Justin Rose. And, you know, he was upfront about it, said, you know, I had my chance. I didn't play that last hole well. And as he's playing that hole, you started seeing the numbers. Well, if he doesn't make this and moves to this spot, then, you know, Justin Hadley's got a chance now. And that's kind of the way it happened. It's always that way, guys. I mean, it just, you know, every year it happens, and it's going to be happening probably for a couple of weeks that way too, because, you know, of these new cutdowns, these different plateaus and levels you need to get to play your way on. And that's kind of the way it is, you know, this time of year. And, you know, it's nerve wracking for these guys, but I tell you, it's a lot of fun to watch. I mean, be honest with you, just keeping track of that and doing it all year, but having done it every year, and there's a lot of drama as far as that goes. And I'm guessing it's for the players. Look, you can't really worry about that stuff in the moment, but you know, that's a factor. And you just know, especially at that point of the year and last event, it doesn't have to come down to 18, your last hole, your last putt. It's something else. it may have been something you missed, you know, earlier in the week or a month ago or six months ago, you know, short one. That's what really, in the end, what it comes down to. Everything's magnified on that day. And he made this putt, he made this birdie, or didn't he? Bogey that hole. But really, we're fractions of a point into the weekend. And I forget the names, but, you know, when I'm looking at who's in the bubble and I'm looking at it and the fans, you see full points, you see how that works out. But really, those things go down to fractions of a point and into the thousands of a point. And, you know, there's 13/100ths of a point separating a guy who's in or who's out. I mean, really, it's crazy how close and how very little that comes down to in FedEx Cup points.
We're joined by Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio, and you're exactly right, Earl. And that would be the haunting thing, I think, if you're – well, you try to not make it haunt, let it haunt you. But if you're a PGA Tour player, you could go back to a tournament, as you're saying, from 4 months ago and go, remember that shot that somehow went off that tree into the pond? Well, if I don't do that shot and get a triple on that hole and finish in 12th place instead of third, all those things could go into your head. I'd have been further down the road. I would have made it into the top 125. You can't let that because I think it would drive you insane. But those are the things, you're right, every tournament where you kind of lost focus and you missed a two-footer. And you're like, at the time, all right, no big deal. Well, now you fast forward a few months, and it can drive you crazy, which, you know, I don't – sometimes I wonder how these golfers get through where they get through with all that stuff that could be, you know, dancing in your head when, as Frank and I were talking about before you joined us, this isn't the NFL. This isn't baseball and basketball where you miss a shot, you drop a pass, you still get the same check. Everything still is pretty much the same. In golf – missed putts, missed things mean money, mean status and positioning in tournaments and things. It's a huge difference. It's got a weigh on your head.
Yeah, it does. Now, look, you know, Justin Rose is in a different place in his career than Chesson Hadley is, too. You know, let's just use those two as an example. The guys that finished the first one in, the first one out. I mean, the last one in, the first one out. Separated by a point, you know, last week. That's what made it. But Chesson Hadley needed to get into the top 125 to have status. You know, right? I mean, it's sure. that's a job for him next year. Justin Rose is going to be fine. He'll be okay, even though he didn't make the playoffs this year. I know the streak ended and everything, but he's got options and he's fine. His status is good. But so that's for a guy like Hadley, how just from a career standpoint for another full season on the PGA Tour, how huge that is for a guy who, you know, could have locked it up a couple of months ago now, had that lead. At the Palmetto Championship and let it slip away, right? So you think, I would. I mean, I know you can't think about that, but I would. I'm, you know, thinking back to that,
you
like, man,
you
blew it. And then, you know, in the end, you get it done. And so that's the other thing, too. For a lot of these guys, we know the big names, and we know, you know, Ricky Fowler is going to be fine. You know, he'll be playing golf next year. He's good, even though he didn't make the playoffs and his streak ended. But for a lot of these guys, that would not have been the case.
Yeah. Hey, here's something that's going around right now. I want your opinion on, Earl, is everyone on social media is exploding about it. Even the Golf Channel, everybody's talking about it. Kevin Kisner needs to be picked for the Ryder Cup team. What's your thought?
Yeah. Well, so you're telling me there's the Twitter experts are out in full force. I hear from them all the time.
Oh, me too. They love me.
Yeah, so, you know, it's
they know it all, by the way.
Shocking that there's, you know, opinions from people on Twitter or social media in general.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I mean – you know, this week, they have a point, right? I mean,
no,
but you know, in a week or two, that may not be the case, right? I mean, it's all snapshots in time.
Sure
I can see their point, but you know, you could also go down a list and make cases, and I'm not going to get into the who's in, who's out debate. And really, in the end, it doesn't matter what anybody on social media or in our coverage or anything thinks. It's up to the captain. But you can make cases for a lot of guys. And it's this way every year, too.
Sure.
And I always say, and when it comes down to this, if you win the Ryder Cup, you made the right choice. And if you didn't, you made the wrong choice. I mean, it's all about results in the end on stuff like that.
Well, I think we should bring Hal Sutton in to talk about
it's
that.
It's what the captain is there for. I mean, because you get to this time of year, and again, there's two schools of thought, and then the Twitter debates and the social media and the sports, sports talk radio and everything else, and you know, the coverage at Sirius, people call in you know, did he make the right choice? Should have picked this guy. Should have picked this guy. That you have a school of, you have two camps. You have the one camp that just, you know, if a guy is higher on the list or the first guy out or the second guy out, they want to pick him. They just kind of want to go with chalk. And then there's the other school that you can't worry about that. You got to pick, you know, who it fits right, who you think is the guy that fits best on your team. And really, I personally think with captains who are, you know, like pro football coaches or basketball coaches, whatever, they're like, that's who they are in these instances, that it's not necessarily the guy with the best measurables or the best player that is the best fit for your team. And you get captains in these spots, and it's tough because everyone's watching, and it's such an important competition for these guys. And those decisions have, you know, huge ramifications. I mean, for some, you know, your legacies in your sport, your career are built or hurt by what happens that weekend and the guys you picked and how it worked out. So I think sometimes it's captains can, it can be overwhelming when you're trying to pick your captain's slots and trying to get your guys, you know, to fill out your team. I really think, and it's easier said than done because there's a lot of external pressures with fans and media, everything else, but you kind of, you know, I know it flies in the face of analytics. And in this case, you know, simply analytics are, what are the standings, right? Where they slot, but really you have to go with your gut on certain things. That's what you're there for, to make that adjustment and to find a guy that you need to play with someone who's already on the team, or find the right pair that you can put out there. So I'm pretty confident that, you know, you got a captain this year that's not going to, you know, bow to, you know, what people on Twitter want him to do. You know, and it's always a slippery slope, because again, the final exam is when you get together that weekend and did you win or not in the end. And I knew that was going to be a debate too. And you can make a point for a guy like Kisner, maybe, you know, player, a kind of player that in the past in the Ryder Cup teams that, you know, the U.S. side, you know, lacks at times. You know, kind of just a gamer and a bulldog, a guy that you can kind of put out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the pressure's on, you know, can get it done or can get hot. I mean, that's, he's that kind of guy. He gets hot. And, you know, here's another one in his favor too. You know, he is a match play champion and he almost won it back-to-back years, you know,
that
stretch. So, his track record in that kind of format's pretty good too.
We're joined by Earl Force with PGA Tour Radio, and back talking about the Northern Trust, the first stop on the playoffs, if you will, then the BMW, and then, of course, the Tour Championship. There's some names, Earl, that I'm curious what you think about who might, at least this week, stand out, because we've kind of missed a few guys for a while. They've been out of the limelight, haven't been playing an awful lot with the Olympics and a big break there. And I'm talking about like Rahm and Spieth, even Kepka.
Yeah.
Haven't heard an awful lot from him lately. Where do you stand? Bryson's in the thick. Rory, this is a big field. This is all the top guys. But again, some of them, other than the ones we're talking about, even Justin Thomas, you have to go back to the Players kind of championship.
I know.
Since he really has played well. Any of these guys going to break out as far as what you're thinking?
Well, there's another thing. Like all those names you just mentioned, you can make a point, right? Hey, this guy will turn it around. He'll get hot. He's, you know, he's got it done before. He's won this before. Really, you know, I look at this coming in and it's number one. Now it's such, the standings are such a factor. They always have been. I'm not saying they weren't, but when you go to strokes based scoring in at the championship, these two events are, you know, the first two of, you know, in essence, six rounds of the Tour Championship, right? Cause you play four in Atlanta, because where you stand is where you're going to stand on that leaderboard Thursday at Eastlake. And it's only, you know, a couple of weeks away now from that. So it's a huge advantage, you know, to have the lead, obviously, going into that. So you have to love where Colin Morikawa stands and the season he's put together and the kind of player he's become. And I just think, the other side is some of these big names, and you mentioned two of them. You've got the number one player in the world where there's so many questions, you know, around John Rahm. I mean, he's certainly a guy who can get it done. We know that. And this, you know, in the playoffs he has before, and last year DJ and he battled, and then DJ ends up coming out and winning the FedEx Cup title. But, you know, with, you know, having to take time off again and the COVID issue for a second time this year, and then bang, you're in it and you've got to get it done. Now the next couple of weeks, right? So that's a big question mark for a guy who's number one in the world. And then there's number two, Dustin Johnson, who, you know, has not, it, similar last year where he didn't play very well at all post, you know, pandemic as far as the shutdown, and then flipped the switch and, you know, won late in the year and then wins the FedEx Cup. So he's very capable of doing that, right? Again, but, you know, it's, as the season's going on, you know, he's down to what, 17. I'm looking at the list now, 17th in FedEx Cup points. So there's work to do for those guys. I don't know. I just think put the names in a hat and draw it out, because they're all very capable of doing it. And you've got, in DJ's case, the reigning champ, Justin Thomas, a former FedEx Cup champion, Jordan Spieth, another one. And here's the thing with Spieth, and he's sitting there at number two, you know, another former FedEx Cup champion. He's just kind of, I mean, is there a way Jordan Spieth can fly under the radar? And I kind of feel he is a little bit with the talk about a lot of other players. But I'll give you some other names. You know, Louis Oosthuizen's top 10 and hasn't won a tournament this year. But he's, you know, right, finished second like a million times. And has had.
He's always there.
And I've said for the last couple of months of coverage, and every time he's there, you know, it seems on Sunday, that no one's playing better than he is, but he hasn't won yet, but he's capable, right? And then to me, the kind of guy lurking just outside the top 10 is Xander Schauffele, you know, who does not have a win.
What's
on
he
tour,
done lately?
But he's got a pretty big one with a big shiny gold medal around his neck. And when it comes to this time of year, he always, I mean, that's a guy that brings his game in the playoffs. I mean, we saw it really, really early in his career. And, you know, it's kind of this whole big super season, this marathon, it's down to a, you know, final couple of laps and almost a sprint at this point. And I don't think that that's a guy you can ever discount once you get to the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Yeah, it's going to be great, I think, playoff. And to mention the names we've mentioned, to see some of them that we haven't seen in a while. Spieth, that you mentioned, has only played twice in the last couple of months. That was the Open and St. Jude.
That's right.
I mean, he hasn't really been on the stage much at all. He's done well, finished second at the Open, and I think 12th or so at St. Jude. So he's played well, but just not much. So we're seeing these guys, I think, a lot of them for the first time in a number of weeks.
But that's number two in the standings, and that's such a huge factor this time. It's such an advantage to be there. He's, you know, at this point, going into the playoffs, only behind one guy, you know, with 3 weeks to go.
Strong.
Hey, before we let you go, Earl, again, we're talking with Earl Forrest of PGA Tour Radio. You got a busy day, and we appreciate the time that you give us. I got to get into your Redskins. And by the way, everything's
the Washington football
Frank,
team.
Frank, you know, that's what I'm going to say. You've got NFT, you've got the NILs, and you got the WFT, the Washington football team. And is it going to stay there? By the way, Earl, are they going to be just stay as a WFT? At some point, will that team be named?
I don't think so. And I've come around on this, and there's a lot of us here thought that maybe that was going to be the case, but it doesn't sound that way. The president of the team, and they do put these things up on social media all the time, the rebranding process, and they're you know, big into doing all these shows and kind of behind the scenes and what's going on business-wise and everything. But he said the other day that they're down to three selections. They're down to three options for a team name. Now, no one knows who they, what those options are, but I mean, over the course of these months, we've started hearing all these possibilities: Wolves, Commanders, Red Tails was a name that has popped up and seems to be a quote finalist on this thing. The list of names have been narrowed down. Personally, I just want to see them win on the football field. You know, I'll call them whatever I need to call them on the air, whatever the name is. because here's what's going on now. It's going to be once they pick a name, it's going to be a 2-year process. And this thing has dragged on for so long I've talked about the 50-50 that the Twitter experts, there's going to be half the people that love what they pick. And then there's going to be half the people that don't. And in the end, that doesn't matter. You know what matters to me? Watching Chase Young fly off the end and taking down Cam Newton like he did a week ago. I've seen a quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick that can actually deliver the ball downfield. That's what I like to see. I'm worried more about the football than anything else. And yeah, the name change is still a huge topic around here. And I cover it and I talk about it. And did the other day when they said the list is down to 3. But in the end, when the whistle blows, that's all I care about. Guys, that's all. Yeah. And we're 3 weeks away from it. And the Dallas Cowboys still have a quarterback that's injured, you know? So make that what you will.
Well, you had to throw that little dig in. Little dig in there. Ooh. Hey, by the way, who's Washington's football? Who's the quarterback going to be? I mean, Ryan. Hankey.
Do you think it's not going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick? Of course it's going to be.
I don't know. Am I saying his name right? Am I messing up?
Be this year?
Fitzpatrick.
Hankey.
I'll leave you guys because I got to run. But when I worked at Westwood One, we did Notre Dame football. And so I would, Lou Holtz era, Notre Dame football. Right?
Oh, fun stuff.
You talk about Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you can make all these jokes or whatever you will. But, I remember a line from Lou Holtz, and he said once in talk about turning around Notre Dame, and this goes back to when he took over. And his quote was, we're not where we want to be. We're not where we're going to be. We're not where we should be. We're not where we could be. But thank goodness we ain't where we used to be. And that's kind of the take I'm going with the Washington quarterback situation right now. It could be worse because it has been as recently as last year.
Tebow's available.
I'm sure he is.
There's the option. And he will continue to be. Yeah. Earl, we appreciate your time. You are busy. We do. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, take care, guys. Good talking to you. Enjoy the playoffs.
All right. See you soon.
All right. See you later. Earl Forrest with PGA Tour Radio. Based in Washington, so if you're curious why we get into that, you haven't heard Earl before. He's been in Washington
forever.
Since, I believe, Teddy Roosevelt's administration.
Yeah. I think he was his campaign manager.
And he loves his Washington team. So yeah, he particularly loves the football team.
He does such a good job on the air too. I mean, as the anchor, he really, really does. You've worked under him before, and I have, and we all have. He's the best. He's the voice.
He's the traffic cop. Right? He sits there and says, "Okay, now let's go to this guy. Let's go to this. Let's go to that." And he kind of updates everything.
He waits until Tim's in the portal.
He does.
Let's go to Tim.
You're kind of Wizard of Oz. You know, you got to sit there and kind of. I heard you. You got to sit there as Wizard of Oz and ignoring as usual.
Sorry.
And you got to figure out what's happening and what the leaderboard looks like and who's making a move on 15 and 16. Doing golf is broadcast golf is so much different and more challenging, I think, than so many others. Because in every other sport, the game is right there in front of you. It's a baseball game, a basketball court. Nothing changes. You don't have to go. But in golf, it's over 200 acres, and it's all over the place. And you certainly can't watch them all. You can't see every hole that's happening. And you have to know and have good people around you that are talking in your ear. We now have to go to Kevin Kisner on 12. And, oh, by the way, here's Phil Mickelson on 2. And it's all – and you got to bang, bang, and get to the people. And people have to get to those different – like when you're out there doing the play-by-play, you're covering one guy until somebody else has 4 birds. Suddenly they're saying, okay, get over to – you know, whoever else is out there, Spieth, Daniel Berger, whoever.
Yeah.
And you got to get in a golf cart and find that guy 9 holes away.
Through the crowds. Yeah,
it's a different animal.
Brutal.
Because the game's happening all over the place. It's not just right in front of you.
Earl
does a great job.
You're right. Or if you're Fred Albers and, your driver decides he'd rather watch golf as opposed to watch the golf cart that all your stuff's in and somebody steals it while you're on the course doing play-by-play. Good God.
The day's coming, Frank. Think of this. The day is coming when they'll have little, like, one-man drones.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
So now let's go to Frank. I mean, let's go to Frank on 12. Well, Frank gets in his little drone, and you don't have to maneuver with a golf cart, which is not easy. People think, you walk a golf cart or a golf course, there's traffic everywhere, and you can only go here, and you can't cut across this fairway, and there's a creek, and you run into a bridge, and the bridge is covered, and it's It's all this stuff going on. If you had a little drone, you could get wherever you want to go.
I like
fly
that.
Above the
sound
trees
effects.
A little bit.
That's good.
That would be pretty cool. That would be pretty cool.
That was good. Yeah. No, you're right. But I mean, you know as well as I do, trying to get from hole to hole and last second they're talking in your ear, get over here. Oh God. And then people are just, then you're standing there with your microphone talking and people walk up to you and ask you, excuse me, where's the beer stand? What?
Yeah,
get away.
Yeah. Do I look like I'm busy?
The concierge?
No, okay. Yeah. You kind of have to be rude too, in all honesty, because people get in front of you. Well, they don't look behind themselves. They're just walking and they cover the whole sidewalk or the cart path. And so you've got to, and you don't have horns, right? They don't want the noise. So you kind of have to go, excuse me. And if they don't pay attention, you're almost yelling at them.
Yeah.
Can you get out of the way? Well, that doesn't make you look good, but you got to get to the hole you've got to get to. You know, like I said, they don't let you just drive down the middle of a fairway. So
yeah, I think when you
have to go where the people are, you know.
When you did that to Tim Fincham, it sort of made everybody mad, but that's okay.
Yeah. Kind of good. You never know who you're yelling at.
Exactly. Fred
anyway.
Smith, you're doing the FedEx, and it's Fred Smith, you know.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Fred Smith. Yeah,
get out of the way, buddy.
Yeah, well, I guess.
Oh, it's Fred Smith.
That's the
Sorry.
Last tournament I'm doing. I think it is going to be interesting, though, to see the Northern Trust, to see exactly how some of these guys who, again, we haven't. And I don't know where we're going to stand on COVID, Frank. We talked about that at the beginning of the show. We have a whole new ramp up going on. That is going to happen. This tournament, in case we didn't let you know, is at Liberty National, right, this week's tournament. So they're in the greater New York kind of area. And what's the COVID situation going to be there? Who is vaccinated and who's not? We've already found out that both DeChambeau and Rahm could make the Olympics because of COVID. So that could play a factor. I hate to think it would, but it could.
Can you imagine?
It could be.
Can you imagine?
Out of a tournament.
Sunday?
Yeah.
You test positive and you're leading by 5 in the final round of the Tour Championship for the FedEx Cup.
Yep.
Oh,
yep. I mean,
God.
It exactly happened to Rahm. And I can't even remember the tournament now, Frank. What tournament was that happened to Rahm, you know, 2 months ago? Where he was leading and had like a 7-shot lead and had to back out of the tournament. Remember, that was at the Memorial, was it not?
Because it was the Memorial, yeah.
Wasn't it with Nicklaus? Yeah. And basically had to hand a trophy and a big check to somebody else. When he kind of had it in hand going into Sunday and could make it. If that happens now and you've got to sit out, you might have to sit out 2 weeks.
But $15 million on the line plus another 1.8 or $2 million for the Tour Championship. Jeez.
I don't know who doesn't get vaccinated in that scenario. I mean, knowing that this is where you're at and you're 125 and you got the chance, some kind of chance to make all this happen for you, how you don't get vaccinated. Now, obviously, you can still, as the governor of Texas can tell you, you can still be fully vaccinated and still contract COVID. Get that can happen. Hopefully you're not going to be, they're saying that you don't get as sick and it's not as serious if it does happen, but they would still have to sit out. They don't let you keep playing. So,
that's right.
Yeah, I mean, but being vaccinated is, to me, the first and foremost, the first thing you got to do if your livelihood depends on it. You know, at this level, I can't imagine not doing it. So, anyway, we'll see how that plays, how that plays out.
We'll see. It's going to be a fun week. It's going to be a fun week next week. A lot going on. So there you go. Anyway.
Hey, I wanted to tell people before we say goodbye, Frank.
About my favorite.
That there's a.
Sorry.
Well, there's a thing called First Leaf. Do you know what First Leaf is?
I do. I use it. I order through them. I'm in the club.
First Leaf is a curated wine company that ships boxes of wines to you. And then throughout the system, if you will, through a few different times that they send you wine and you figure out what you like they narrow it down to the wines you really, really like. And we know when you get wine, whether it's at home or store or restaurant, whatever, you're not always sure, unless you're Frank and an expert on all this stuff, which wines you kind of want. And you don't always have the list. Oh, that's not the one. Oh, I don't have my favorite. So you got to pick and choose. Well, this is a great system for figuring out exactly the kind of wines that you like. And it's First Leaf. And First Leaf has been doing this for a long, long time. And you get the wines shipped right to your front door. Am I right on this, Frank? You've had it done, right?
Yes,
I have
twice
yet not
already.
Done it. I need to.
Yeah,
twice
it's
already.
It's good.
And it comes right to your front door. So whether you're grilling with friends or doing any activity, you've got wine on hand to take care of everybody in your party. You can join today, and you'll get 6 bottles of wine for just $29.95. That's $29.95 for 6 bottles of wine and free shipping, right? So you don't have to pay for the shipping. All you have to do is go to firstleaf.com/golftalk. That's firstleaf.com/golftalk. 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 and free shipping from First Leaf. It is a great system. It's a great way to find out which wines that you like and to continue to get the wines that you do like. And as I said, always have them on hand because you never know when those surprise friends might stop by. And you don't have to get out and shop and do all the things. It's right there brought to your door. And a great deal right now, six bottles for $29.95. Go to firstleaf.com/golftalk and get all the wine you want and need right there at your house. What a great system.
It
I
is.
I got to do that, Frank. It, I keep saying that, and I haven't done it, but I'm going to make a note right now to do that.
Do that today. I'm telling you, you'll love it. I absolutely like the products that they sent. You, that little bitty quickie survey you do is easy. It's kind of fun. And
it kind of narrows it in. Right?
It narrows it in. Kind of, and then if you want to review the bottles that you have or that you've consumed, which I did that pretty quickly, then it hones it down. It gets it tighter and tighter down to your taste buds. It's really a cool deal. I like it. I would recommend it to anyone. Firstleaf.com/golftalk. Do that because we can't.
They'll let them know that we sent you there.
Yeah.
That's good for everybody.
Get an extra case of wine.
You get a little wine.
House.
We get a little something. Everybody makes out. Firstleaf sell some wine?
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Pretty nice.
Good stuff, buddy.
All right. Well, I'm not playing golf today. I played yesterday.
Yeah.
But the rain has kind of come in here in Dallas. So
That's what I hear.
Not really. Today and tomorrow, I think it's supposed to. It's not raining right now, but it's pretty overcast. So I'm not going to. But at least I got out yesterday. I've got my arthritic tendonitis, whatever, in my elbow. But I'm hoping that it's getting better. I keep rubbing on it. That's what the doctor told me. So instead of surgery, instead of doing anything and getting a needle or anything else, just rub the heck out of that sore tendon, which does hurt like a son of a gun. But it does, I think, make it better. It's helping. So I just sit here the whole time I'm doing the show. Here's you can picture me, people. Whole time I'm doing the show, my left hand is rubbing my right elbow, and I got a grimace on my face like, ow, 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 as Earl's talking. I'm like, oh. So that's where I'm at.
By the way, Earl had to go straight on the air. he had to
get out.
Hang up the phone and put on the headset and go straight on the air in Washington. So
we warmed him up. That's what we did.
Yeah, we did.
Service for him.
Got him all worked up and ready to go. So anyway,
right.
Hey, shout out to all of our friends out there in the LPGA world, and we'll be the senior LPGA championship working at next week at French Lick. But just as a sidebar, Tim, did you realize that the winner this week in the LPGA tournament, biggest purse ever, they'll win almost $900,000.
Is that right?
Yeah. How cool is that? It's about time for the ladies. It's about time. So, yeah,
wow.
Congratulations to the LPGA and the whole staff down there in Daytona Beach. We'll be down there in the not-too-distant future. I'm going to take a two-day trip and drive, not going to fly, and head down there to Ponte Vedra and see our friends and maybe stop by the Tour Championship and, you know, just kind of make a road trip out of it. So
very nice.
And see all of our friends.
Yeah.
And we're going to have more LPGA stuff, too. We're going to start doing some stuff, maybe another show powered by Golf Talk America. So stand by for that one. Jane Crafter is going to be working with us this week, too, or next week. So, and Janie does a great job. She's done play-by-play, as you well know. You know Jane Crafter. Great player in her own right. And has that accent. So, yeah, it'll be fun.
Hey, get a load of this. Got a big announcement in Dallas. You know, you and I talked a lot of times about all the different tours, including the PGA Tour champions, the older guys. And Paul Stankowski, shout out to him, had a good tournament. Their last stop, which was in Calgary, Alberta, and got a top 10 finish there. And made a little bit of coin and had a great event and a great tournament. Well, guess what? Those guys, meaning the tour champions, are going to be coming here to North Texas.
Whoa.
That's right.
Whoa, where?
We got an event coming in here. Yeah. They're going to be playing at Las Colinas Country Club.
Oh, great.
And it's going to be in the spring. And so it's going to be kind of a jam-packed spring because they're going to have the tour champions will be here. Then, of course, we've got the Byron Nelson. Then you're going to have the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial. And we already have the Korn Ferry Tour, the Veritex Bank Championship. That'll be in April. And then the women, the LPGA, the Volunteers of America, actually are moving. They played this summer. So hot in the summer here. But they're going to play in the fall. So we're going to have one of each. We're going to have Korn Ferry, LPGA, two PGA Tour events, and a PGA Tour Champions all here in the Dallas area starting next year. So that's going to be kind of cool. And it's a big thing for Club Corp. One of our top sponsors, Club Corp, check them out at clubcorp.com. The CEO of Club Corp is David Pillsbury. He's going to be at the announcement tomorrow when they announce this because the club we talked about where they're going to host us, the Las Colinas Country Club, is a Club Corp facility.
One of my favorites, too. I love that place. Are you going to go tomorrow, by the way? You are, aren't you?
I think I'll be there.
Yeah, say hi to David, and Meg Tolleson will be there. Say hi to her, our friends at Club Corp, and ask them what else we can do for them because they do a lot for us, and we love them. Love Club Corp.
Yeah. And you guys should check them out, too. Check them at clubcorp.com, anywhere in the country that you're listening to us. And I know we get people from all over the world, but we're talking about the U.S. at this point. But if you want to check them out in your area, then go to clubcorp.com, and you can put your state in, your zip code, and they'll tell you all the different club options in your area. Yeah. And you can actually go try them out, tee it up, and check it out, and see if you like that club, see which ones you like. Here in Dallas, it is the mecca because it's the headquarters for Club Corp. I believe there's 14 different Club Corp, but in your area it might be a couple, and you can check and see which ones you like at Club Corp. Yep. Go to clubcorp.com to find out.
Absolutely. And so go to frenchlick.com, one of our other sponsors also, and check out the Senior LPGA Championship and the online auction. Check that out, frenchlick.com. The online auction has a lot of cool items, and it all goes to a wonderful, wonderful charity or hospital, which is the Riley Hospital for Children's Foundation. And that's basically kind of a St. Jude, not a research hospital as much as St. Jude, but it is, and it has a ton of patients that go through it, and it's gut wrenching to go see those kids. But it's nice. Heartwarming to see.
Good cause.
Yeah,
good
how cause. Heartwarming to see how much good that hospital does. Riley Hospital for Children. That's the charity. Frenchlick.com. Check it out, people.
Right. We'll talk more about that next week, and when you guys are there, doing all that kind of stuff. We're done. We're out of time. We thank every one of you for listening to us and join us. Be sure to check us out. Tell your friends about us on any vehicle where you find a podcast. You'll find us. It's golftalkamerica.com. You can find out where you can listen to us. And we get listeners, as I said, from all over the world. And we're thrilled every day to be able to bring you a great show and have you guys listen to us and show us your appreciation. For Earl Forsey, thank you for joining us, Earl. And Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for joining us, and remember to be here next time for Golf Talk America.